I'm just a plain old country boy, and that's all I live of. Oh, rock and roll, I gave you all the best years of my life. All the dreamy sunny Sundays, all the moonlit summer nights. And though I never knew the magic of making it with you, I'm getting along with my country songs, doing what I was born to do when I was always just one step behind you. Oh, rock and roll, I gave you all the best years of my life.
Happy trails.
Tell me, I hope all your trails are happy. Until we talk again later, from WRCO-FM in Richland Center, Wisconsin. Time to put the wraps on our morning session and bring on the news at 9, sponsored by the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games.
This is AP News. I'm Rita Foley. This hour, the House Homeland Security Committee begins a meeting to vote on impeaching Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. The AP's Donna Warder.
House Republicans say Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas refuses to enforce immigration laws, and the Homeland Security Committee is scheduled to vote on two articles of impeachment against Mayorkas. But Democrats are calling the proceedings a sham that could set a chilling precedent for other civil servants. Donna Warder, Washington.
The U.S. is vowing to respond to that enemy drone attack that killed three American service members in Jordan and wounded many others. The AP's Jennifer King with what we're learning.
The enemy craft flew in at a low altitude, U.S. officials tell the AP, and might have been mistaken for an American drone that was in the air at the same time. While the base in Jordan near the Syrian border, it does have counter-drone systems, there is no effort to shoot it down. A trailer where troops sleep was struck and surrounding trailers were damaged by the blast. More than 40 soldiers were wounded, and three U.S. Army Reserve soldiers from Georgia were killed.
Sergeant William Rivers, Specialist Kennedy Sanders, and Specialist Breonna Moffitt.
Pentagon Deputy Spokeswoman Sabrina Singh.
This is an IRGC-backed militia. It has the footprints of Kitab Hezbollah.
National Security Spokesman John Kirby says President Biden met with National Security Advisors and is weighing options.
These groups, backed by Tehran, have just taken the lives of American troops.
Jennifer King, Washington.
Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu is denying reports of a possible ceasefire deal to end the war in Gaza. He's repeating his vow to keep fighting until absolute victory over Hamas. President Biden will spend today raising money in Florida. One fundraiser not far from Mar-a-Lago, Donald Trump's resort. The other fundraiser in Miami. This is AP News. Toyota has a message for those of you who have older vehicles.
Toyota's urging owners of old Corolla, Matrix, and RAV4 models to park them until their airbags are replaced. Toyota says Takata airbag inflators on the older models are at risk of exploding and hurling shrapnel. GM is sending the same warning for 11,000 of its 2003 and 2004 Pontiac Vibes. The urgent warning covers certain Corolla compacts and Matrix hatchbacks from the 2003 and 2004 model years, as well as the RAV4 small SUV from 2004 and 2005. Most of the vehicles are in the U.S. Both companies said owners should contact a local dealer instead of driving the cars in for repairs. Dealers will provide options such as mobile repair, towing the car to a dealer, or vehicle pickup and delivery. I'm Norman Hall.
Gas is $3.12 a gallon this morning, up 4 cents in a week. I'm Rita Foley, AP News.
The best place to catch a Friday night fish dinner is the Phoenix Center. Dine in or carry out delicious deep fried or baked fish. The Phoenix Center serves food and fun every day. The pizza is out of this world. And after a great meal, make it an even better night with a game of bowling. The Phoenix Center is family fun at its best. Open at 10 Monday through Sunday. The Phoenix Center, the area's go-to spot for good times and great food. Today's forecast calls for a high of 40, maybe some patchy drizzle out there today, partly cloudy and frosty tonight, low of 27, 47 Wednesday, and Wednesday night 30, Thursday 45. We're up 3 from the overnight low. Right now it is 38 degrees. Thank you. On our morning show from WRCO and WRCE today, Greg Zimmerman is in the studio to talk about some great things that are going on in terms of the foundation, some scholarships from the former UW Richland. Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Good morning, Phil.
Good to have you in here today. Talk about a topic that you want to get the word out that the foundation still exists, right?
Right. The Richland County Campus Foundation does exist, still exists. It was there primarily in the past to provide scholarships to students who are coming to UW-Richland. But now that UW-Richland, the buildings are there, but the students aren't there anymore, the foundation has shifted its scholarship emphasis, and we're now looking at this coming year to provide scholarships for those who apply to high school students, home-educated students who are graduating in May or June, current college students who are still pursuing a 2 or 4 year degree, and also any adults who want to return to school to get a post-secondary degree.
That's a wide area of different people, isn't it?
Yep. Well, I think when the board met, and we've had plenty of discussions about it, wanted to open that up to give a lot of people an opportunity to get a degree or finish one. And I think it's a noble effort.
Doesn't matter where they're going to school.
They have to go to a Wisconsin school.
A Wisconsin school?
Yeah, it has to be an accredited college, technical college, or university in the state of Wisconsin. So that's a clear criteria.
You mentioned before we went on the air, you've been on a magical mystery tour of
yeah,
high school.
That's how I like to call it. Yeah. I just finished yesterday. Yesterday I was at Richland Center High School. But I've visited high schools within about a 30 to 40 mile radius of Richland Center in the past month.
And you're just trying to get the word out there for kids to apply. Then.
Yeah, sit down and talk to seniors, 12th grade students, and in most of the schools, I sat down like with the entire senior class, and I was kind of expecting just kids were looking at going on to school. But hey, why not all the seniors? You never know. There are some who could change their mind and say, well, maybe I'm not going to pursue work or military and I'm going to go on to school. So I caught quite a few students.
And you never know. Maybe another scholarship opportunity that might inspire somebody, right?
Right. Free money. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I tell students that the time that they take to apply and gather letters of recommendation and the transcript is well worth it if they get scholarship money.
You're a former high school principal, so you're not intimidated walking into a room.
I enjoy it. I really do. It takes me back to time working with students. I enjoy walking in the room and talking to students, and I'm interested in what they're doing and what they're going to do. Always have been. So.
So when you're talking one-on-one with the classes in 2024, have kids changed over the years like we all assume that they have, or is it pretty much the same, wanting the same things that we did?
I think so. I think it's a little bit different in that the job market is such that you have fewer students looking at post-secondary education when there are jobs waiting and there are people out there, begging them at times to come and make $30, $40 an hour. So I think it's a little bit different. There's more options open to them, I feel, than it was, say, 30, 40 years ago.
Sure, but I think more opportunities once they graduate to maybe get a job as well.
Right,
too.
Right. I mean, that's for some, it's to go out into the job market now and make a good salary right out of high school is there.
Do you have an office at the campus site?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm at Melville Hall. I have my office there, and also UW Extension has their offices there too. So.
Tell me about the foundation, Greg, and how that works and operates.
The foundation has been around since 1979, and it was set up, as I said, to provide scholarships to students coming to UW-Richland. I've been executive director since last February. We have a board of directors. We have a president, vice president. We meet once every 3 months. Since February, I think we met a little bit more because we were really trying to hammer out the process of going in a different direction with scholarships and had to set up a website, which went active first week of January. So we had a lot of things to do. But I think now we're back into a pattern of meeting every 3 months. And we're not only looking at scholarships, but we are putting together and finalizing a grant program to offer grants to community groups, nonprofit groups, who have a current or relative need that serves the community. And that eventually will show up on our website, too. It'll be an application, just like scholarship is an application, and groups can apply for funding, and then a committee set up by the board will review those applications and provide grant money, which I think is exciting, too.
I do, too. So you envision, like, somebody starting a new business or somebody wanting to upgrade?
Well, it's more of a nonprofit venture.
Oh, okay.
Someone who has some event that they want to plan in the community, but they need startup money or funding to do that serves the community. I'm thinking, I'm just throwing this out there, it might be like a food pantry in the community or something of that nature that serves the general welfare of the community. And we wanted to go in that direction too. So providing funding for bringing school groups out to the Smart Farm. We have the fifth grade coming out in May, fifth grade from over here at the intermediate school. And the committee that has met has talked about encouraging schools to bring groups out to the Smart Farm, which the foundation does own, which I've had some people come up and ask me, so what's the county going to do with the Smart Farm? And I said, they're not doing anything with it. They don't own it. And one person asked me, well, how do you know? And I said, well, I'm the executive director of the foundation. And that's been kind of a rumor out there and misinformation. The Richland County Campus Foundation has owned the Smart Farm and continues to own it. And we're encouraging school groups to come out and use it. And in last September, the Richland School District had a school night where parents and their kids who are students in the district came out, and Richland School District put on a meal, and we had members of the foundation out there doing little nature workshops, and it was a nice night. And we want to do more of that. So.
Yeah, I'd heard that rumor as well, but that's good to know to get that word out there that the Smart Farm is fine, isn't it?
Yeah, I spoke with a couple of members on the board saying, hey, I'm going on radio, anything you want me to mention? We do own the Smart Farm. please mention that, because others have on the board have heard that too. You know, people have asked that question, and so we just want to clear that up.
So you work there, you kind of do improvements, upkeep and things like that during the year?
I do a lot of the, I take care of paying bills, mm-hmm. and doing those things as part of being director. I'm getting out, like I said, it's past month, I'm getting out to schools. When the application deadline of March 1st ends, I'm going back out to the schools, 'cause those students at the high school who apply are required to get a transcript and submit letters of recommendation as a part of their application. And I've talked with the counselors at the area high schools, and I just asked them, if they can apply online, they can do that themselves, but can you collect the transcript and the letters? And then I'll come around after March 1st and pick them up. I think just be easier that way. And counselors, I'm working with them on that, so I'm going to be back on my own little tour, my FedEx tour, I call that, to pick everything up and bring it back and organize that. And our scholarship committee will meet probably end of March to determine where the scholarship awards go. And then in April, I'll contact the schools and let them know who the recipients are. And then I'll contact people who aren't going to the high schools about it. But then in May, last half of May will be a busy time, because I plan to go out to award ceremonies, award nights, to award scholarship certificates to students. So that's a crazy time too. You know, end of May with graduation and first part of June. That's a crazy time, but I'm going to be back on the road.
That's a rewarding time, though.
Hey, that's fun. Yeah. That's fun standing up there. And I know people get nervous behind a microphone, but I don't. And I don't mind getting up there and handing out certificates on behalf of the foundation. Those award ceremonies are all good.
How much money are we talking? Is it going to vary for each student?
Last year, last May, we had an awards night on campus. It was the last one because, of course, the campus shut down July 1st. But last May, we had an application that we put out to the UW-Richland students, the last group that were there. And we had 31 students get scholarship money that totaled over $90,000. So it was right around 93,000. That's the number I throw out there for those 31 students. So doing the math, that's an average of like $3,000 per student. And then those students, those 31 students are now off at other Wisconsin schools. They left, and 19 of those 31 students, for example, are at the UW-Platteville schools. So that's the amount of money we gave out last year. This year, I don't know yet. We have to take the applications and we have to look to see where certain students are. But I don't know if it's going to be that amount of money, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I have a special place in my heart for that last group from the campus, too. We had some of them on during the year last year as well, and they're all doing well, and I kind of felt bad for them. But then again, they still got the Richland campus experience, so you know, I guess I had to be happy for them, too.
Well, if you go on the website, and the website address is RichlandCC, as in county campus, foundation, RichlandCCFoundation.org. That's the website. If you go to our website and you pull up our main page, there's a picture of six of those 31 students from last year. Those six students had a picture taken because I said, hey, I want a picture of students who got scholarships last year to put on our webpage. And those six students are at Platteville now. And so they got together in December, had a picture taken, and we put that on our webpage. So that's a nice reminder of. And when I go around and I talk to the high schools, I'll tell them, okay, all of these six students you see in front of you on this webpage were at UW-Richland last year. They all have scholarship money that is helping them with their classes, pay for their classes this year.
They're doing well, it sounds like, then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
The next question is, where do you replenish the funds? How do you generate money for the foundation?
Well, the foundation has money that's been endowed or given to them over the years that is sitting in investments. And that endowed money every year earns interest. And that interest money is what we use then each year to fund our scholarships. We also have a couple of people who provide money each year. They just give us annual money to put towards our scholarships. So every year there's a set amount of money that comes off of that interest and that money that sits in investments.
The foundation is going to exist and continue on for many years.
That's the goal. The goal is to continue to be here. I mean, there is money that I look to people like a Darla Wentz, who was executive director for many years and was very integral in bringing the foundation to where it is. He was out there encouraging people to donate and building that investment fund and bringing it to where it is today. And also through the board of directors who have been there over the years. But that money is there and it accrues interest and is ready to be given. And so I think that's the board's approach has been, we have that money to provide. Let's continue to provide it, but let's just move in a different direction.
Could you talk about some of your other board members on the foundation?
Oh, our president is Terry Sobranek, Our vice president is Darlene Emerson, who was an instructor at the campus. The two people I talk to frequently in the job that I have to do, and we have other members of the community. Lee Bailing is on there. Wayne Morgenthau used to teach for many years at Richland Center. Dwayne Simonson, who's retired, works out at the Smart Farm. In fact, Wayne and Dwayne and Norlene were our Smart Farm committee. It takes hours to maintain the trails out at the Smart Farm and take care of it. And it's not just owning it and just going out there and walking around. There's a lot of work that needs to be done out there. So, and those three have done a lot of work over the years. So Gene Burkett, who is a UW Richland treasure, is on the board, still on the board, and serves. So, you know, we've got some people from the community who have stayed with the board and done a lot of good work.
They should have a statue for Jean. She could be the statue.
Oh,
you know,
right, right. So, well, yeah. if you come into Melville Hall and you come into the Pippin Conference Center, which is where we meet, there are portraits that adorn the walls of all of the instructors who gave many years of service to work at UW-Richland. Very impressive.
It is. So many stayed there for so many years and
yeah, true.
Really inspired generations, didn't
true.
They? Yeah,
they yep.
did. Tell me a little bit more about the Smart Farm and people going there, and can you book tours? Or
sure, know, yeah. sure. We, as we said, we've had school groups out there. I know that we've also had, I think we had planned like a snowshoeing, cross-country skiing event last year, but I think Norlene will have to correct me on this. I think we had to cancel it because we didn't have enough snow, and sometimes we've had to, as I said, you know, we've set up some events to just come up, walk the trails, some beautiful trails out there that I said our Smart Farm Committee maintain. They don't mow the trails and make sure that if there's a storm, trees don't fall down over the trails, and try to keep that as a beautiful nature area for people to come out and use. And we want to encourage that even more. I don't know if this is going to happen, but I had someone contact me from the state to perhaps come out and run a DNR kind of class. It was involved fly fishing, and I said, "Well, we've got a lot of trout streams around here. It'd be an excellent place to run your class." So it's still in the works. I don't know if it's going to happen, but we really want to. We have that farm. We want to use it.
How much acreage is there?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that question.
I'm sorry.
I didn't know.
It's a good chunk, though.
It is. It's right up on Dayton Ridge. If anybody's been up there, when you come up to and turn into the long driveway that comes down to the farm area, if you just stop and look, it overlooks. It's beautiful. It's a panoramic view from up there, and the barn has been maintained wonderfully by our committee. And even have used like the hayloft, kind of cleaned that out, and have got some desks and chairs up there, and even used that to do some presentations. So really trying to make that a place that people want to come out to and encourage groups to visit.
Hopefully, you know, schools can take advantage of that and bring the students out there.
Which is why we're looking for the money set aside for our grant program. We want to encourage schools to come out there and say, hey, well, help, you know, take care of part of the transportation cost, just to encourage you to come out and bring groups out and learn. There's so many opportunities for students to do some kind of environmental class out there for a day.
Is there info on the website about the Smart Farm as well?
We do have a Smart Farm website. What we want to do is try to merge the two on our main website so that Right now, it's primarily for the scholarship application, but we want to put our grant application on there, information, even combine a little bit of the smart farm on that, too. So it's kind of an all-in-one site.
When you're out visiting schools, and you mentioned like 40 of them as well, and probably some are saying, Richland Center, why are you coming here and offering this
right
to us? You know?
Right. Well, we want to get the word out there. We want to be able to use the scholarship money that is there every year and help students out. I mean, that was the original purpose, to bring students to UW-Richland. They would come for 2 years, get an associate's degree, and they'd move on and go on to another school. And the people I have met who are UW-Richland alumni, I went to the UW-Richland alumni the fall night where in October at the Phoenix Center, where they have members inducted into like their Hall of Fame. And what a wonderful ceremony that is. And to hear the people who come back, I mean, just the different things that they've done, the achievements that they've made, and the people who have said, hey, if I didn't go to UW-Richland, I don't think I ever would have gotten a post-secondary degree. You know, I learned a lot. I grew up and then went out and finished my degree somewhere else, and the things that they've accomplished. I mean, I just sat there in awe listening to the stories of the people who come back and have nothing but wonderful things to say about UW-Richland. And I think the last couple of years when they've had that program, it even became somewhat of a bittersweet event then too, because it's such a nostalgic program that I know Kathy Granger, as the alumni president, puts that together along with other officers of the alumni association. But it's just such a wonderful event.
I don't know whether they're doing something in the spring before. They've used to do the homecoming in the spring, you know, and the basketball games and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I know they did one last February.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think anything is planned right now, but I can't speak for the Alumni Association on that.
You probably get questions all the time about the buildings and things
that
are out of your hands or
yes,
knowledge.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I get questioned a lot about what's happening, and I just don't know. I mean, I have my office there. I mean, I didn't know after July 1st if my office would still be there, but I am. And since then, UW Extension offices have moved there. So I have company down my hallway, but people come and ask, and I just tell them, I'll probably find out after you do, because it just changes.
So. It always pleases me if you call and the caller ID says UW-Richland, you know, so it's like, all right,
right,
I like that.
Right.
So.
We're still there.
Still there. Still exists there.
Right.
So, and you mentioned that alumni, too. I've found going other places how many people actually went here. I was in Milwaukee one day, and I had somebody find out I was from Richland Center, and they said, oh, yeah, I went to college there.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's just amazing the number have come through here through the years.
It's true. I mean, I find out about people who went to the teacher's college.
Oh, yeah.
Before it was UW-Richland. I worked with coach with Ron Benish, who is a Hillsboro
mm-hmm.
alumni, and he went to the teacher's college.
He's a legend.
Before it became UW-Richland, I think he's a member of their, you know, their Hall of Fame. Sorry, Kathy, if I'm calling it Hall of Fame, and that's not what it is, but that's what it seems to be. But he was honored as a distinguished alumni. And he mentioned, you know, to me one time that, yeah, just going there for 2 years, and he went out and taught, and then finished his 4-year degree, and he still has a lot of good things to say too. And that was even before it was UW-Richland.
The other thought too is all the awards and honors that have been, you know, over the years. Hopefully, they're going to be able to be preserved and stored somewhere.
Right. Right. I know if you go over to the gymnasium, they still have the big trophy case there, and lots of stuff, a lot of trophies sitting there from the years, and I know that's a discussion we've had at the board level too about you know the artifacts that are there and preserving those and making sure that those don't disappear. And a discussion we've had and will continue to have is, you know, where are they going to go? I mean, we're still there. The buildings are still there. For the most part, there are a number of items that are still intact. So what's going to happen? We don't know right now.
And the sad thing is there are other two-year universities in the state that are going through the same pains too.
Right. And I've heard from one. And they're all concerned too. And I know that a couple of two of the two-year schools came up as being next to close. So I think they're all concerned too. And I think that's where UW-Richland and Richland Center statewide, when it comes to education, is everybody's watching to see what happens.
We did get a note here, Greg, that UW-Richland alumni women's basketball, April 27th.
So. Oh, someone must have called it.
So there you go,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's great.
It will happen this year.
That's great. Maybe that's great to hear. Well, I know that last year I've been to the homecomings, and I watched the men and women play last year. It was fun to see women playing April 27th. I'm surprised that the men won't also be playing.
Maybe they will. Yeah. I don't know. You coached for a while there at the campus?
I coached 1 year.
1 year, okay.
Yeah, I coached 1 year. I was the men's coach. Mike Benson was the women's coach. And the two of us are still coaching together. So,
just last night. That was quite a game against Royal, wasn't it?
Oh, yes. Yes, it was. Two heavyweights. I told the guys it's a heavyweight bout last night, and proved to be.
It was.
Yeah.
It was just a real pleasure to watch. So it was kind of, I think, in your game against North Crawford, too, throwback games because you had full gymnasiums and people just enjoying good basketball.
It was a tournament atmosphere.
It was.
Especially last Thursday night, it was a tournament atmosphere. I talked to my son on the way home, called him on the way home because he was interested to see what how it went. And I told him I felt like I was either at a regional final or a sectional semifinal game because the place was packed and just the energy was something else.
Sure. And that's for you, I'm sure, rewarding because you've worked with kids for a long time, but to still be involved and to see that youthful exuberance, I'll use the word.
Well, I'm old. I started teaching and coaching at Hillsborough in 1985.
Okay.
And there were a few years I took off, but I think I was always drawn back to coaching and teaching, and it's in my blood. Mm-hmm. And being involved in education, I think my oldest, as I said, I talked to him the other night, and one time he just, when he heard about the different things I was doing in my so-called retirement, he said, "Dad, you're the Hotel California of education. You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave." So I thought that nails
it.
That nails it.
And you're an assistant at Ithaca now, so sometimes being an assistant doesn't have quite as much, you don't have as much paperwork to do and things like that.
Well, I'm just amazed now at how coaching is a 12-month job. It's not just the season. It's the off season. It's the summer leagues. It's coaching used to be running a camp in the summer, and that seemed to be good enough, but now it's not. I mean, there are leagues going on in the region. The JAG Fieldhouse in the Wisconsin Dells is booked solid all summer for basketball and volleyball leagues. Mm-hmm. And it's a 12-month job.
Mm-hmm. There are some that would debate that and say maybe that's not such a good thing, but that's kind of the world we live in too, isn't it?
Right. Well, it's you know, there's scholarship. We're talking about scholarships here for academic scholarships, but there's athletic scholarships now that, you know, kids are really seeking, and it just makes it more competitive.
It does. So it is men's and women's. So we had said women's, but it is men's and women's on April 27th. For the alumni. So there you go.
And now I know, too.
We'll get
it. Like
chance.
I said, last year it was in February.
Okay.
And I just wasn't. It's good to know. I look forward to going to watch it.
Yeah. Some of those games, and I had the honor to call lots of them at the campus over the years, but those were some magical games.
That gymnasium, as a coach, I think that's one of the nicest floors around.
I do, too. Yeah.
It's not a real big venue, but it's an amazing number of people you can get in there. And it's a college length floor, beautiful floor. And it's just it's sad as a coach to not see it being used. And I've also heard from some people who one was a teacher I just talked to recently and said, yeah, I remember going over there and playing ball and watching games, and just they were so nostalgic about the place and the social aspect of the campus and the floor in the community.
I remember a couple of times I've talked to people again that played the game there, and my daughter, in fact, teaches in Madison, and one of her coworkers says, "Oh, I know your dad. He used to call my games at the campus."
Right. So, well, you're a legend, Phil.
Well, I don't know about that.
You're a legend.
You hang around long enough, you start to know a
few
people.
That is true. last night, of course, at the game, with Royal, I mean, I know Scott Upen, the coach. We were principals at the same time in the Scenic Bluffs Conference, and John Murray, the assistant coach, he coached for a while, and there were some people from Hillsboro that came to the game Thursday night, and then they came back last night, and of course I was up there talking to them, giving them a hard time, and I came back down to Mike Benson and Aaron Hipsch, and Aaron Hipsch looks at me and said, "What are you, some kind of celebrity, I feel like?" And I said, "If you live long enough and you're around the game, you run into people all the time that love basketball, and they just love being around the sport and going to games, and you know, it's a social, it's a social thing, you know, and I told the coaches last night that there were going to be a lot of people who just enjoy watching basketball that would come to the game.
And they did.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You start to know officials and.
Oh, I know all the officials.
Yeah.
I really do. I mean, Charlie Switzenberg from Waniwak, he and his crew were there last night. His son officiated. Well, Charlie and I used to play ball back in the 1980s. I know Charlie. His kids and my kids grew up, played against each other. It's just, and a lot of the officials that come around, all the gray-haired ones I know, and they chances are they officiated games when I coached.
Yeah, many times. Yeah, unfortunately, that's an aging population. We need to get some young. It was nice to see a younger guy helping out.
It is. It always makes me feel good when I see a young crew come in, because that's what we need. If we don't have officials, we can't play. We need officials. And unfortunately, I think there's a little bit officials take a little bit more heat. That's what I've seen change over the years. Fans are a little bit too vocal, I think, regarding calls and everything. And I think sometimes officials take too much of that, which I think has pushed some of the younger officials away. I've known of some good officials that started and were into it and had a real bad experience, and then they quit. And that's unfortunate.
Yes, it is. We'll come back and talk. We'll wrap up our conversation with Greg Zimmerman in just a moment, talking about the UW Richland Foundation and lots of things today on The Morning Show from WRCO.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Lynette from the Prescription Center. We want to thank all of our longtime friends who have put their trust in us to manage their family's health. We want to thank our increasing number of new friends who have learned just how special we treat our friends. We do realize you can go anywhere or use mail order. We want you to choose us every day. We know copays are the same for any pharmacy in town. However, we feel we provide a superior value for your dollars. If you find our prices higher, we will match prices for all medications. We check to see if any of your prescriptions have dollar off coupons from the manufacturer. These coupons actually put money back in your pocket. If your current pharmacy does not do this, give us a call. We know your time is valuable. When you call ahead, your prescriptions are ready when you stop. I guarantee you will never wait in our drive-thru. Okay, we do not have a drive-thru. The Family Prescription Center, where you and your family always come first.
No one ever plans to give the wrong gift. It's just that finding the right gift can be very hard. The key to finding the right gift is finding the right place to shop. Added Touch Floral and Gifts. Added Touch has so much more than fresh flowers. They have over 15 flavors of wine. From Eagle's Landing to Three Lakes, there's nothing better than to treat your special person than to flowers, candy bouquets, and wine from Added Touch Floral and Gifts. Your friendly full-service florist on Main Street, Richland Center. 647-2319 or on the web at addedtouchfloral.com.
When I say Utter Brothers Creamery in Boscobel, most people think about their ice cream, but it's so much more. You can pick up some pasture-raised, never-given antibiotic and GMO-free beef. Or you can pick up some milk, butter, and cheese. You can find honey, coffee, jams, maple syrup, krauts, and of course, you can let them do the cooking. Check out their wonderful menu of delectable items at Utter Brothers Creamery and Restaurant in Boscobel.
Hey, Ellie.
Hi, Mom. Do you know what this week is?
I think I do. Dwayne and Randy have been patiently waiting for those floors at the new Chet's building to be finished.
Spot on. Chet's will open at the original location this week, Monday through Thursday, 8 to 5, and then we will be closed Friday and Saturday to move across the road to 880 North Orange Street, the former Schneider Plumbing and Heating building.
So does that mean the new store will open Monday, February 5th at 8 a.m.?
Sure will. Same hours, same prices, same great service. Just a new space to serve our friends better. And as always, we appreciate all of our loyal customers because without you, there wouldn't be us. See you Monday.
For more than 50 years, farmers have tuned in to listen to Brownfield Market News on their local radio stations. Today, Brownfield's in-depth market information is available on multiple platforms. Viewers can sign up for Brownfield's weekly Commodity Market Update e-newsletter delivered on Tuesday afternoons. Visit previous programs or submit questions for the next show by visiting Weekly Commodity Market Update at brownfieldagnews.com.
What I remember most is the loneliness I felt, the separation from other people. At the end, drinking was no fun for me. Since I've started to attend AA meetings, the greatest gift is that I've become reconnected. I'm part of life again. I really like myself, and that's wonderful. AA is a miracle in my life.
Visit AA.org for more information and download the Meeting Guide app to find a meeting near you.
Greg Zimmerman is here today, Executive Director of the UW Foundation Scholarships here, and Richland Center is our subject, and we're talking about that deadline coming up here in just a little bit. Greg, I guess we kind of want to recap what we talked about earlier.
Sure. Yeah, the Richland County Campus Foundation has set up a website, and the address is RichlandCC, as in initials for County Campus. Foundation, all one word, RichlandCCFoundation.org. When I've gone around to the high schools, I bring that website up on a smart board for students to see, and through the tabs there's a how to apply tab that they can click to get the general information, and then there's the application on there that they can then access, and they just can fill it all out. There's general information there on the first page. The second page, they have to list references, people who can serve as a reference and write a letter of recommendation for them. Third page, they have to list their school, non-school experiences, work experience, and then they have to submit an essay that they can put right onto the application and then submit. And then I get those forwarded to me, and then I'm keeping track of who's applied, and I let the counselors know if they have a student who's applied, so they're ready to receive their documents from them. Also, this is open to, like I said, to college students.
Spoke to one yesterday, a mom of a said, "This is for current college students." I said, "Yes, it is. So you can, you know, you can have your son or daughter apply." Great. So it's for current college students who are still working on a 2 or 4 year degree, and returning adults. We have some adults out there that may have started, say they started at UW-Richland and put in a year or two, and they want to go back and get that 4 year degree. They can apply.
That money helps, especially if you're working another job, you're trying to get funds to get those extra classes.
Got a soft spot.
Yeah.
For people who, you know, want to go back and finish that degree. As you get older and talk to more people who've done that, who started and then during life circumstances couldn't finish, and then they went back and got that degree. And this is open for them.
And it's 2 and 4 year degrees too, right?
Right, right. I mean, so it could be someone who's finishing a 2 year degree, and then now they go on to a 4 year university. They can apply. Once again, it has to be to a state of Wisconsin school. It could be someone who wants to go to Southwest Tech. It could be someone who wants to go to UW-Madison. Someone who wants to go to Viterbo University. Viterbo is a Wisconsin school. It's an accredited school. And that's open to them.
When you get the all of the applications, then the board goes over them and kind of votes on them, or how does it work?
We have to have a committee,
uh-huh,
a set up of non-board members. Board of directors can't serve on the committee, so it's an appointed committee of people who go through the applications, and under our foundation umbrella, we have close to 50 different scholarships that are there, and each scholarship carries sometimes certain criteria. So it could be someone who is a resident of Richland County is one of the main criteria. We have another scholarship that is for someone who is going into agriculture or business. So what we do is we take the one student just fills out the one application. If we have, here's someone who's looking to go into agriculture, well, they might fit over into this scholarship that has agriculture as a criteria. So we try to see where students who apply fit. So that's what the committee does. Committee tries to look at who goes where. The quality of applications is a part of that, too. So that's what the committee will decide.
Do you still write checks?
Do I write checks?
I mean, how do they get their money then? Is it does it go to the school?
That's a great question.
All right.
This past year, for example, the 31 students who are attending different schools, they had to provide me verification of enrollment. And each university has what they call an enrollment verification process, where a student contacts them, says, "I need this enrollment verification to get a scholarship." It's a standard form from La Crosse or from Platteville. And then they send that to the student, and the student sends it to me, or the student says, "Please send it to Greg Zimmerman, the director at the Richland County Campus Foundation." So I get this enrollment verification, and I know that they are signed up for classes for the semester. So what I then do is for the number of students who are all enrolled and they verify it, I send one big check to the university with the names of the students listed and how much they each get.
Oh, okay.
So let's say a student's getting $4,000 for this coming academic year, we split it into two payments. So $2,000 would go for the first semester and $2,000 would go for the second semester.
Mm-hmm.
So I sent out checks to the universities back in September. And then this past week I sent out money, one big check to Platteville, you know, and another big check to Madison for three students who are going there. So I send it to the financial aid or cashier's office, and then they take that money and apply it to the student's account. Each student has their own financial account where the university's put in there, okay, you owe this much money this semester. And so the students see how much they owe, and then they send their payments there. But my scholarship checks from the foundation go to the cashier or financial aid, and then they just put it in, apply it to the, subtract it from what the student owes.
So if Phil Nee's going back to school, you're not going to write a check to Phil Nee so he can buy
pizza? No, Phil, I'm not writing you any checks. No. Yeah. Well, I mean, some scholarships do that.
I know.
Some foundations send the money directly to the student. There are some foundations that make the student complete the semester satisfactorily and then send the first check. They don't send it up front. The student has to pay up front and then finish the semester out and then get the money for it. That's tougher for students, especially when there's a big bill sitting for them to start off the semester. I like the way our foundation has things set up.
Right. This scholarship can be used in addition to other scholarships, obviously, too.
Correct.
The students, and they do. There is a lot of money out there that
there is.
That wasn't available, it seems like, 20, 25 years ago.
There is. I mean, it's if someone really wants to spend some time and search, they can find scholarship money, and they can apply, and it's well worth their time to do so.
Most definitely. The deadline's coming up then?
Yes, right? It is. March 1st, Friday, March 1st is the deadline. Actually, I would say 11:59 p.m. on Friday, March 1st is the deadline. So the application will come off or be inactive as of March 2nd. So, and then when it opens back up next year, we'll put it back up on the website. So,
are students usually accepted into a school that early, or how does that work? Like, what if they're not totally accepted into the university they intend to go to by March 1st?
Oh, I think it varies as to when universities accept students, but I think they're doing it earlier now than they ever have.
Okay.
I mean, colleges and universities are wanting to get students.
They need the numbers, don't they?
They need the numbers. So I think that they're also very flexible then about accepting students late too. So, and that's why we require that enrollment verification too, because it lets me know. Maybe a student said, I'm going to UW-La Crosse, but then I get a enrollment verification from them from UW-Platteville. Okay, they're still going to a Wisconsin school, which still qualifies them for the money, but maybe they changed their mind or something happened. So I just have to make sure I know where I'm sending the money, where the student is. But I think that's why we require that.
Anything else you'd like to add today, Greg?
Nope. Just thank you for letting me be on the program and put the word out there. I've advertised in the Richland Observer for the next 5 weeks about the website and the scholarship program, visiting schools, continue to contact some schools outside the 30, 40-mile radius just to let them know. We just want to get the word out there.
Well, keep us posted on anything that's coming up for the foundation. We can publicize it here.
Yep.
On the program.
Yes,
so.
Yes. And it's good to know about the alumni tournament, too. I like I said, I hadn't heard anything myself, so.
That's wonderful, yeah. Men's and women's alumni tournament on April 27th, and I know they usually have some special things in a reception afterwards.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. It's a nice event. It's just an example of the class that UW-Richland's had.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. Well, Greg, thanks for coming along. We'll see
Thank
you soon.
You. Yep. Thank you.
Greg Zimmerman, Executive Director of the Richland County Campus Foundation on today's morning show.
Hi, my name is Molly.
My name's Sophia.
We are third grade students at St. Mary's School. We are very excited about Catholic Schools Week.
It starts on January 28th with an all-school mass at 10:30 and a pancake breakfast.
We will have some fun dress days. We will have Class Color Day, Dress to Impress, Crazy Hat Day, and Class Unity Dress Day. These activities are fun, but don't take away from our positive attitudes, love for God, and sharing our faith.
We will be celebrating our faith with many fun activities, like a food drive, read-a-palooza, sledding and snow fort making, and class volleyball games. We will also have spirit baskets. These bring us all together in faith and fun.
We look forward to celebrating our faith in a fun way.
I can't wait.
Great news! Strang's at Richland Center is not closing. Instead, we're excited to announce that they will be under new ownership. They continue proudly to offer top quality products from trusted brands like Lennox, Goodman, A. O. Smith, NEC, and many more. At Strang's, quality is not just a promise, it's the hallmark. Whether you require heating, cooling, plumbing, electrical, or telecom services, one call to Strang's does it all. Strang's has always been about people helping people, and your satisfaction is their priority. Experience the legacy of Strang's under new ownership. The same reliability you've known for years, now with a fresh perspective. Strang's, where experience meets commitment, and they're here to serve you better than ever before.
Cowessin Bus Richland Center is currently seeking applicants for full-time daily school bus routes. Starting wage is $20.50 per hour. Paid training is available along with a $1,500 sign-on bonus. It's an excellent opportunity for college students, retirees, and stay-at-home parents. You can bring your kids to work with you. If you enjoy working with children and have a positive attitude, this is an excellent career for you. To apply, call 647-4446 or stop by the Richland Center Cobuson Terminal off Highway 14 behind Center Lodge.
When we talk about the Utter Brothers Restaurant and Creamery story, it starts with Jason and Miranda and Justin and Justine and their love of the community and the area. It's all about family and family farms. You can enjoy some delicious food there each and every time you go. You can stock up your freezers. You can stock up your pantry. Shop for salsa and ferments. Also ice cream, cheese, milk, and butter. And check out the new apparel as well. You'd look good wearing an Utter Brothers Creamery and Restaurant t-shirt. Stop by and see them in Boscobel real soon for great food at Utter Brothers Creamery and Restaurant.
The Pine River Sports Association Gun Show is February 9th and 10th at the Community Center in Richland Center. 3 to 8 on Friday, Saturday 8 to 3. The PRSA Gun Show is recognized as a quality event with up to 70 tables of guns and related items. Local Boy Scouts will have concessions, just $5 admission, 12 and under free with an adult. The Pine River Sports Association looks forward to seeing you February 9th and 10th at the PRSA Spring Gun Show at the Richland Center Community Center.
Rockwell Automation, a community partner in Richland Center for over 50 years. We are your neighbors, firefighters, and EMS. We are coaches, board members, volunteers, and much, much more. At Rockwell, we make life better by creating product that supports clean water and renewable energy, food production, computer chips, and countless other industries. We are looking for difference makers and are hiring both entry-level and experienced assemblers to join our team on second shift. Rockwell employees annually start with 3 weeks of vacation, 1 week of paid sick and personal time, and 14 paid holidays. That's 6 weeks of paid time off to enjoy hunting, fishing, traveling, or however you like to enjoy your time. Visit rockwellautomation.com/careers and search for Richland Center, or simply stop in Wednesdays between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. for an on-the-spot interview. Rockwell Automation, where talent meets opportunity, where we meet you.
Jones Chevrolet in Richland Center is starting 2024 with new vehicle inventory ready for you to drive and buy ASAP. We've got 20 Silverado half-tons with discounts and incentives, over 15 heavy-duty Silverados in stock. Trailblazer, Blazer, Equinox, Tahoe, and the all-new Chevy Trax are here. Over 80 pre-owned and program cars are available too. See the details and inventory at JonesChev.com. Whether it's our body shop, parts, service, or sales, Jones Chevrolet Buick in Richland Center is proud to be your Chevy truck headquarters for over 100 years. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
It's good to look into the windows you'll be looking out. The perfect place to look into new windows is PMI Windows of Lone Rock. PMI offers premium vinyl windows custom made to order with the latest advancements in glass and hardware technologies, fusion welded frames and sashes, and the industry's best lifetime no-nonsense transferable warranty. Windows are not all created equal. Let PMI custom tailor premium vinyl windows just for you. Call 583-7200 for a free estimate.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
This is AP News.